I'm glad you are here tonight to celebrate with us the mercy of God and the grace of God upon our nation. This is a church that prays, and I think that tonight is a very special night to say thank you, Lord, that we were not destroyed, even though we have been damaged in a great measure. We have not been destroyed. And we want to thank the Lord, and also we want to learn from difficult times in our life what the Lord brings to us. Let's start tonight with great songs of praise. 532 will be our first song tonight, a song of a great American heart, a song that will say, Lord, we recognize that our nation is today what it is because of our fathers, God of our fathers. Books to number 530. 530, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and we sing all the stanzas of this magnificent hymn in memory of those who died. I went to work. I went to the battlefield. They went to work, and they died.
Thank you.
ask you to stand for the next hymn, the battle hymn, the wonderful 528, the Star Spangled Banner. And we should stand. Say, Lord, thank you for the lesson, because we learn through difficulties, and we're going to study that as David faced tremendous difficulties, and he writes Psalm 55 to give us the solution and what difficulties cause in the life of the believer. So I will do ask Brother Greg Thompson to come first, and then Brother Wynn Pitts will lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you that you have brought us here to hear your voice, to humble ourselves before you, to receive wisdom and guidance from you, O Lord. We thank you that you have given us and shown us your mercy, and you've given us your grace. We thank you that you have placed us here that we might praise your name and exalt your holy name. Father, we lift up to you this church, this congregation, and pray, O Lord, for your hand of mercy, for your hand of guidance and divine strength to be upon us, to hold us fast and firm in your word, to fill our lives with your presence, that we may not sin against you, Lord, but humbly follow you all the days of our lives. Lord, I know that many of us have come from long distances here this evening to be here today, Lord, and I pray that you protect us as we return. But Lord, more importantly, that you keep us focused on you, that every Wednesday as we come and we pray, that whether we are here in spirit or physically, that we will humble ourselves before you every day, every time. For your word says to pray without ceasing. Let us lift our prayers up to you. You know our needs before we pray them, Lord, but we need to remind ourselves of the great work which you have done, the great work which you will do, and your desire to hear from us, for us to pray to you. We pray, O Lord, that if we are able, that we will sacrifice ourselves for your purposes, to bring ourselves together, to praise your name, to exhort and encourage one another for your divine glory and your divine purposes, that we will come and gather and praise your holy name. Lord, we know that there are many within our congregation that are in great need, whether it be spiritual or physical, Lord. We lift up to you the members of our family at this time and pray for your healing hand. We pray, O Lord, for Judy Plucka, and Lord, we thank you that you have given her body some strength, and that it appears that her body was strengthening, Lord. But we pray that you give her peace, and you give the doctors wisdom and guidance to continue the strengthening process, to continue to encourage her and her parents, O Lord. Father, we lift up to you Pastor and Raquel. And Lord, we pray for your divine hand to be upon them, to give them strength in the time of need. And Lord, right now they're in great need, but also praising your holy name. For we know that Miriam is very sick, Lord, but we praise you that you have provided people who can have been able to give us information that says that we have an idea of what's wrong. And we thank you, Lord, for the medicine knowledge that we have is not come from just picking it out of thin air, but from studying the Word of God and studying the order of God, and to know, Lord, that it is because you are the one that created us. It is you who is a God of order that we can understand and figure out how this body, this miraculous body which you have given us, how it functions, and how, O Lord, to help it to repair. But we know that it is you that heals, it is you that strengthens. And we just pray for your divine strength to heal the Oteros as they're being dealing with the health of Miriam, Lord, and pray that you give them peace and encouragement, that you provide wisdom to the doctors. Lord, we also lift up to you Loretta Florist, and Lord, we know that she's going through some difficult times right now and having difficulty and just moving around from place to place. But Lord, we know that you are a merciful God and you're a gracious God. And you are a God of power and strength. And Lord, we pray for your healing upon her. Give her peace and give her comfort. Help us as a congregation to come amongst her, to encourage her, to exhort her, to comfort her, to help her meet her needs, O Lord. That we can demonstrate the love of Christ by being a servant unto her and to our other members of our congregation. Lord, we also lift up to you Ann Pareto and pray for your healing hand on her. For she has been in bed for many days and weeks and difficult to get up. But Lord, we know that you can heal the body as well as the soul. We lift up that family to you and pray for your spirit to descend, to open up the hearts to receive you, that they may follow you and receive strength and grace and encouragement from you. Father, we lift up to you Cora. And though she is not among us as in this congregation, Lord, we still lift her up to you, for she is a member of the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that your hand be upon her and her family. Give them strength and peace to endure the current affliction that she has. Help her, Lord, to receive strength from those that are around her, from the brethren. Help her to be healed both in mind, in spirit, and in body, Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that you help that family be filled with your presence and with your word, to keep focused on you and you alone. For you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one who gives us life and hope. It is you that we are to praise and exalt. Father, we pray for this nation. And on this day, we are in remembrance of a time when this nation was attacked like no other time in history. But Lord, even in this attack, your divine hand was there. For you had protected many. You have kept many from falling, coming to death in this attack, Lord. For there weren't as many people that could have been killed as were. But Lord, we acknowledge that it is by your hand that people survived. And it is by your grace that we as a nation, as we as a people, have not been destroyed. But you continue to encourage us and strengthen us, to give us hope and grace. And Lord, we pray for this nation that it will turn from its ways, that it will not evaluate right and wrong based upon what seems right, what feels right. But Lord, look to the outside. Look through your eyes to see the way that you see us, that we may turn from our paths of selfish pursuits and turn towards Jesus. We pray for this for the church, for the body of Christ throughout the entire country and nation, Lord, those who call upon your name, who say that they are the children of God. Help them to hold fast to your word, not to argue and debate over things that don't matter, but, Lord, to hold fast to living a holy and righteous life according to your word of God. For it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And, Lord, our desire is to demonstrate our love for you through our obedience. And we pray for your people, that they will see, O Lord, where they are with you. They will examine themselves, not according to their mind, but according to the heart, according to the word of God, which tells us what it takes to be a child of God. For we must receive the Holy Spirit. We must humbly walk with you and be obedient, because, Lord, we love you. And our desire is to praise you, exalt you, and to receive the blessings which you have for us. Lord, we pray for our Congress and our government officials, that you will place within them your spirit and give them your wisdom, give them your word to fill their lives, that they may acknowledge you, O Lord, in all that they do, that they may see that they are not in control, but it is you, that they may humble themselves before you, receive strength from you, and Lord, that this nation again, by the obedience of our leaders, by the obedience of the church, will again be called the greatest nation on earth, not because of its finances, not because of its giving to the world, but because of its churches, because of the people of God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we bow again for a word of prayer, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again we say thank you that you've given us this time that we can come and gather together tonight and to remember in this nation 1 year ago of how terrorists came into this country and they knocked down two of our tallest buildings, which was what was capitalism in this country. And Heavenly Father, we remember all the people that was jumping out of the buildings from the fire, and all the firemen that got killed, and all the policemen. Like the pastor said earlier, they were just going for a day's work. We never know what's going to happen to us, Heavenly Father, but we know that you're in control. And Heavenly Father, we come to give thanks to you tonight, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that there wasn't more cities destroyed and more people killed than what they were. Heavenly Father, we see this. We know that everything goes through your hands before things happen. So Heavenly Father, as we look at sees what happened in this land, we can see it was probably a judgment that was coming on this land because we have gone so far away from you. We see the abortions every day where thousands and thousands of babies are being killed, are murdered, just like the people in the buildings were murdered. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that your hand might come upon this nation and your spirit might come upon this nation, that we might turn from the cruelty that we are bringing upon this nation. Heavenly Father, I echo the prayers of my brother, Greg, to say thank you, Father, that you have protected this land all these years, that you've given it to us over 200 and something years, that you've blessed this land, and we thank you for it, Father. It was founded upon your word, but we have gone far from it. But Heavenly Father, through this act of terrorism, may we stop and look at ourselves, and we know that we cannot protect ourselves, we cannot protect this country. Only you can protect this land. And Heavenly Father, we look for your power in the future and in the present time, Father, to heal this nation. And Heavenly Father, we come to give thanks again for your presence of being with the families that lost their loved ones, Father. May you comfort them as they remembered what happened to them that was on the plane that went into the Pentagon and the plane that went into the ground and those that went into the building, Father. There was many, many loved ones that were lost. And many people came to know who you were at that time because they had no hope in this world, Father. But you are only hope. I still remember a pastor's last week's message, Father. It rung into my ears and my heart all these days. Is that if we will just live a holy life and live the rest up to you, You will take care of us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this country might live a holy life before You and strive to do Your will and not our own will, Heavenly Father. And Father, I lift up our leaders again as our brother did earlier, especially our president, as he makes the decisions to go to war with Iraq. Father, give him the courage that he needs to make the decision to do the right thing that might keep these terrorists out of this country. Heavenly Father, we know that there's a lot of terrorists here still among us. So Heavenly Father, we pray that You might be with our policemen, our military, wherever they might be in this country and around the world as they fight this war on terrorism. Father, we know that You're on our side, and we know that we're going to win this war because, Father, You are with us. And we ask Your blessing to be upon all of our military that are fighting throughout this world to stop this evil that has come upon this land. And Heavenly Father, as we think about our own church and our families here, as our brother Greg prayed earlier for Miriam, Father, this is a terrible disease that she has. It's attacking her body time and time again. You've brought her back to health. But Heavenly Father, we pray that Your power might touch that part of her body that needs healing, that You might stop this disease, that she might come back to her health, that she might raise her children and be a wife to her husband for many, many more years to come, Heavenly Father. And I pray for Daniel Lace's ministry, Heavenly Father, that You might bless it as he goes out, Heavenly Father, and teaches Your word and brings it before the people that are driving the cars because it could be their last race and they don't know You. And Heavenly Father, we lift up our coming event in this October, our Heavenly Father. We pray that You might bless it and that it might be encouragement to all of us, that You've lasted this church for 20 years and may it be here another 20 or more, Father. Only by Your blessings will it be here. And Heavenly Father, we lift up the deacon of the week, Jack Kasangian and his family. Heavenly Father, we pray that You might be with Jack and Mary, and we're thankful, Father, that You brought them to this church to help build this church and the testimony that they've been here all of these days that You've let us have this church. Father, we pray a special blessing upon him and the remainder of the deacons. And Heavenly Father, we pray for Judy Plicka that has just had surgery. Heavenly Father, we pray that You might touch her back where it has been operated on, that You might cause speedy healing to come to her body, Father, and so that she might come and give You praise and glory for what You have done for her. And Father, we lift up Christine that is having problems with her health also, her immune system, Father. We just pray that Your hand of mercy might be with her and heal her speedily. And Father, we have many people in our church that are without jobs right now. We think of Joseph Guerrero and Joshua Nunes and Joby Noriel and Lester Noriel. Father, they all need jobs. They need jobs to support their families. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You might open a door for them, that they might have work here very soon. And Heavenly Father, we lift up Don McDowell. He's looking for another donor. Heavenly Father, we pray that You might bring a donor to him before it is too late, before You take him home. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the Toasted family that is making many decisions to move or stay or relocate. I don't know the whole story, Father, but they have been a blessing to this church for many, many years, Father. But may Your hand of mercy be upon them and guide them and lead them with Your Spirit. And Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for the many visitors that are coming into our church each week. May You continue to bless this church and bless those that come to seek Your word and for the truth that it has for all of us. And Heavenly Father, again, we thank You and bless all the ones, Father, that have come tonight to hear the word that the pastor is going to bring about King David and the things that he went through. And Heavenly Father, we know that this nation has gone through terrible things before with Pearl Harbor and with the British coming in the late early 1800s, burning down Washington and destroying us at that time. But with this terrorist coming, that's the worst that we've had since those days. So Heavenly Father, we know that we can come to You because You will comfort us, as our pastor taught us last Sunday, comfort You, my people. So that's why we have come here tonight, Father, to bow before You, our hearts, our minds, and our souls, to say, comfort us, Father, during this hour of trial in our country and even in our lives. And Heavenly Father, we lift up those in our families that don't know You, the lost ones. Father, we pray that You might touch them in a way that they might seek Your face. You ask us to come asking. knocking, and seeking. So we're here tonight to do that, Father. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit might be upon us and you might bless us all. And Father, we thank you for your Son. In the song, it says that we just sang earlier tonight that Jesus Christ came to make us holy. So men should die to keep this country free and holy, for he has founded it, Father, upon your word. And we're to keep your commandments in your word. And also we're to keep the things that has been brought about through the legislature of this country, Father. So, Father, again, I say thank you for your many blessings that you've held this nation together all these 200 and something years. And, Father, we thank you for blessing it. And may you watch over and protect us tonight as we go home. And, Lord willing, come this Sunday, Father, may we come before you and bow again to say thank you, Father, for your Son who died on the cross and rose the third day and justified us of our sins. And we know, Father, may we continually look for his return, Father. And all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. It is a great and wonderful opportunity tonight, as we already have the Psalm 532, the Psalm 530, and 528. With great praise to God. And our brother's praying for us. And now Elenita will bring us God Bless America to us before the Bible reading.
When the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us pledge allegiance to our land so free. Let us all be grateful for this land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Please sing with me. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet.
We have many passages for moments like this. One of them is Psalm 55, where David was crushed by the enemy, but not crushed within. And our brother Plika will read for us verses 1 to 17, and then Pastor will meditate upon the Psalm.
Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, reading Psalm 55, verses 1 through 17, and that's found on page 359 in your pew Bibles. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go quick down into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Blessed is God's word. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. When all around our nation is being struck down, as we saw in the pictures over and over today, we cannot help but wonder what is going on. And many people ask the question, why? I received a magazine called Christianity Today, and the magazine assumed that it is because we are not serious about our faith. But when you look into the entire Bible, the reality is that faithful people and nations were struck with calamity even though they were faithful. And I want to recall in your mind some people. Job was righteous in the eyes of God, said the Bible. If he were living today, he would highly resent television preachers who say that the thing that happened to us is because the church has left God. Now, the Apostle Paul was a righteous man. I look into the life of the Apostle Paul, a righteous man. He lived in God's will after he found God in Acts chapter 9. You find the conversion of the Apostle Paul. You find Ananias opened his eyes, and he walked with God. He lived in God's will, yet he suffered trials in almost every city he entered. They had to shovel him through the window because people wanted to kill him. What about Joseph? Joseph was a righteous man. He became a politician. And he suffered like most of us had never suffered because he did right. So when I look into the picture of what happened 1 year ago, what happened to us every day and every week, I'm sure that 1 year ago you never imagined what is happening to you today. I'm very sure. I believe it is not a question about why this is happening to us, but rather, what are we going to do about it? I think that's the best solution to the problem. Looking into the book of Psalms is very easy, because there you find the ups and downs of a man, a king, who will tell you everything. He will tell you when he is happy. He will tell you when he's unhappy. He will write when he's under pressure. In Psalm 55, God relayed to us what David did in times of suffering. And so I want to talk to you about what we should do in times of suffering. Let me show you what suffering in the life of David caused. Three things caused in the life of David suffering for good. I mean, for real good. The number one thing that happened is the suffering caused David to pray. Look with me in verse 16, Psalm 55. In verse 16, as for me, he said, all of these things happened to me, from verses 1 to 15. All of these calamities happened to me. But as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will take care of me. The Lord will save me. Suffering caused David to pray. Amazing. Some people never pray until suffering comes in their way. And our God of mercy will listen. And so suffering is turned for good, because turned the believers to pray. David was a man of prayer, but when he suffered, he said, as for me, what are we going to do about all of these things that happened to me? And remember, he said that he had power. Remember what our brother read? He will flee away from the circumstances. He had power. But he said, I cannot do that. And so, as for me, there is only one thing to do. I will call upon God. And I think I read in an insert of a paper, and I don't know, insert in a magazine that Dr. McCormick left in the handle of my car Sunday, with reference to our country and prayer. And the magazine have taken just an inventory month after month in how the church was busy in prayer. And the magazine said that the first month, almost there was 90% of the people going into church for prayer. And the second month dropped to 60% the people going to the church for prayer. And the third month, 50%. On the fourth month, with 30%. And after the fifth month, was just regular, 3% of the people went to prayer. So I'm glad we have 50% of the church here tonight, and I'm glad that we are in the 50%. See, it's not only just to pray in our home. That's very godly, and I hope you do that. And I know our church people do that. Everyone pray in their home. But it is the collective prayer that causes the church to progress. Is the prayer of the body of Christ united that caused the Lord to bless us? And I hope that you pay attention to that, that we should not fool around so that no more suffering come to us, so that we can pray together. The second thing I notice here is the suffering caused David to get really closer to God. Take a look in verse 17. In verse 16, pray, but in verse 17, he really gets closer to God. Evening, you know what evening is in Hebrew? It's after 6 p.m. That's evening. Remember, for Hebrews, they don't have a watch like we do with 12. The 12th is where your 6 is, and that's the evening, all right? Evening, after 6 p.m. And morning is after 6 a.m. See? And at noon, that's how they divide the watch. Evening, they start with the evening, and then the morning, and then noon. See, evening, morning, noon, around the clock, all right? Will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Suffering caused David to get closer to God. How many times Daniel prayed? You remember? Three times he prayed. And so the Muslims pray three times as a tradition in their religion. Three times. Daniel prayed three times. The Bible doesn't say how many times you pray. But David covered himself totally. At the evening he pray. When the morning comes in, he pray. At noontime, he pray again. He get really closer to God. There is no way that you can have any other means to get closer to God than when you pray. When you pray, you are eye to eye with God. You are the closest to ever in your life when you pray. Whether you are in your car, stop in a rest place, or whether you are in your home or in your work in one corner. When you pray, you are the closest to God that ever you will be in this earth. Prayer. Suffering causes the believer to get closer to God. I wonder why we have to wait until we suffer in order to do that. It's an enjoyable thing to pray, you know. I learned from my grandmother. She prayed all the time. My condition with my grandmother was, you know, Grandma, you never do anything of yourself. The only thing you do is what God said. And she smiled. And she smiled. I said, everything we have to do, we have to ask God. That's right. I will say, well, I need 35 cents to buy a ball. That was the cost of the ball because mine, so much playing, broke down. And she said, what are we going to pray? Oh, asking God again. I said, you know, and maybe it was too childish what she did. We're going to pray. But she taught me that even to buy something, we're going to pray. She was a woman who lived close to God. I'm never going to forget my grandma. Suffering caused David to get closer to God. And my brother, even though it's tough when we suffer, we pray more than what we did before. I don't know if we pray evening, morning, and noon, but if we pray one time, at least we pray two times when we suffer, when we need direction for something, when we need something. We ask people, say, will you please pray? I had to take this decision, or I had to do this, or I had to do the other. And I want to see a doctor, and I want them to have an opinion upon this and the other. And you ask as many people to pray, and suddenly the whole body of Christ is more in contact with God than ever before because of something that we call bad suffering. You see how God turned things around and make us closer to Him. Not only that, the suffering caused David to pray, and suffering caused David to get closer to God. But I'm going to go a little beyond the reading of my brother, and I'm going to go to verse 22, and I want to say the suffering caused David to trust God. Look at verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And remember, in the King James Version, the word Lord is the word Jehovah there. Cast thy burden upon Jehovah, and he shall sustain thee. He doesn't say, and maybe he sustained thee. You notice that? The Bible doesn't say, and could be that God will sustain thee. No. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's a verse that my wife used all the time upon my ministry. He says, just relax. God will never cause the righteous to be moved. He is the one who moves, not anybody else. And she trusts this sentence, this last sentence of verse 22, to death. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. It is amazing. And you go through experiences in life and you wonder how in the world I still here, how in the world I have a job, and how in the world I do this. It's God who really keeps you. But the key is the first part of verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast. That's a Hebrew word for, the Hebrew are very, they are gamblers. If you look in the Bible, they really gamble all the time. And even God used and how to throw things in the air and so on. And remember when they elected one of the disciples to follow Judah, they gambled. They flipped the coin and and did all of this. And God said, you know, when you flip the coin, you are at the mercy of that coin. And so God is saying to the Hebrew people, as you going to gamble and you are at the mercy of what happened there, just throw yourself into the mercy of God and He's going to take care of you. Don't even doubt. Don't even consider why. God's going to take care of you. Trust God. That's the hardest thing to do in times of trouble. But there is the only thing to do. So if we don't trust Him, He gives us more trouble and more suffering. And three, we look only to God because we have no other choice. And then God brings results. Dealing with difficult times. Actually, for the Christian, difficult times turn to be good. Because we pray, because we get closer to God, and because we learn to trust God. You know, I always say the New Testament is in the old contain, and the Old Testament is in the new explain. And it's true. You do the reverse, and you end up in a mess in your understanding. Now, the New Testament explains Psalm 55. Where? In 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 7, in one tiny sentence, the New Testament brings to you the entire spirit of David, who said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 7 said, casting all your care, and that word care also can be translated anxiety, upon Him. Why? And I wrote a big, big scratch in my Bible on this word. For He cares for you. And Peter wrote to the believers. If you go to Peter 1:1, you see it written to the church, to the believers, to those who believe. And he said, please, cast all your anxieties, all these things. We know these, but in times of difficulties, escape from our mind. I thank God for the Psalms where David expelled all the miseries that he goes through. And then not only he tell us the miseries that he goes through, he tell us the solution to the problem and the blessing that he got in that misery. And I think it, after we were invaded by the enemy with our own planes, with our own civilian planes, without guns, we play knives and destroy in a way that never America was destroyed. We need to go back to basics and cast our anxieties upon God, for He cares for us. Those two towers were the symbol of money. That's what the towers were. The symbol of the power of money. And God took it away. And a few blocks from the towers was a church and remained intact. Doesn't matter what denomination was, but the church, a symbol of God, was right there, 7 blocks from the place. 4 blocks around, everything is destroyed or has to be destroyed because it has been damaged. Anything that is money and power was gone. But that church in New York is still alive without one crack in the building. And I thought, is that a sign that God is saying, come on, guys, come back to the simplicity of our fathers as we've seen tonight. Let's come back to the simplicity to trust God and to give Him the glory, and He take care of Saddam Hussein or 10 people bigger than Saddam Hussein. May God bless us at this little church, that as individuals, each one of us has to make decisions and go through struggles like I went last week. And many of you are going through struggles now and what to do here and what to do there. Believe me, cast that anxiety upon the Lord. There is no other choice, but what a blessing. He cares for you. Thank you, Father, that in difficult times we learn that you bring these times about in our lives so that the believer get closer to you, so the believer communicate with you, and we learn to trust you for the impossible. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with this nation. But before you move the nation, you have to move us, because we are the nation. And so help us to trust you, to walk with you, to look up to you. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. Amen. We're going to close asking you to stand, and we're going to do again 528. Will you stand, please, as we salute our flag and we renew our pledge of victory and our pledge of faithfulness to God. 528. Coffee in the back for those who like it. All right.